left to go all the way, so there will be a double pit stop. They get about 1.7 miles per gallon. They're only allowed 40 gallons in the car.
Now, in his point, he's got himself up into third position there. He's got himself up easily there, going into top three as he goes through there. This long racetrack, a big wide racetrack as he comes through again. You see AJ Foyt there in the race car. But still, Gordon, John Cox's got a considerable lead.
Yes, he does. It's John Cox and Tom Sneva and A.J. Foyt in third place. Then Al Unser and now Wally Dallenbach trying to move past Al Unser and doing it. But it's John Cox up in front, as you see. He stole the start on everybody. Just got on it at absolutely the right second.
Yeah, he had the car in the right gear. Most of these cars have got four-speed gearboxes in, and if you do get the revs just right at the right time, and that turbo comes in, there's an enormous amount of power as they go. There you can see the order. Gordon, John Cox, Tom Sneva, A.J. Foyt, Al Unser, and Wally Dallenbach.
Okay, that's Sneva and A.J. Foyt. You're watching now with the standing superimposed over them. There they are, Tom Sneva in car number 8, the blue and white Roger Penske machine.
Tom Sneva, a young man who came along and did very well indeed. There's been a problem in the back stretch somewhere. Yes. There's a yellow flag and there's been a problem coming out of turn 2.
There's a lot of smoke out there just coming out of turn 2. We understand the car involved is Todd Gibson, the number 22 car. I can't see where he is. Oh, yeah, I think he is just on the edge or in the middle of the race course back
there. There's a car stopped out of turn 2, but Gibson is continuing. The driver should have it out.
No, there was an incident coming out of turn 2, and is that the number 22 car? I believe it is.
No, I don't believe so. No. That is someone else.
That's 24, it looks like.
Tom Bigelow, it could be.
Tom Bigelow, right.
With all that dust, the marshals there, it's car number 19,
Gelhausen. Mike Gelhausen, right.
He's got the emergency crew, he's got his helmet off, he's perfectly all right, standing by the emergency team there, as the officials are trying to keep these cars well above the race car that's damaged there.
While this is going on, Johnny Rutherford came into the pits and out again very quickly, and we'll probably see everybody topping off on their fuel supply while the yellow flag is out. No sign of injuries yet, we'll be back with a more complete report. The picture is live. Four laps have gone by. 76 remain in the first race of the Indianapolis Star season, the California 200 at Ontario Motor Speedway. There was an incident coming out of turn 2. After only two laps had been run under the green, several cars involved. There is no word of any injuries. We saw, I believe, all of the drivers walking around, but that is not for sure as yet. Mike Gelhausen was involved in it. Tom Bigelow was involved in it. Down in the pits, Chris Ikatamaki may have more information on that for us. Chris, go ahead.
Well, not on that, Jimmy, but on that start by Gordon Johncock. The pop-off valve has been eliminated this year, and boost controls are important. Gordo apparently had the boost way up to give him an extra 50 or maybe even 100 horsepower. But that uses fuel. Fuel is going to be critical not only today but all season long. Here's the fuel tank of the gauge, and they've got to get to the finish of the race before the level gets down here. So throughout the competition today, the mechanics are going to be using calculators to determine how much fuel is left. And that boost control in the car is the key to fuel consumption and or mileage. Back to you, Jim.
Chris, how many pit stops do you foresee today? What are they looking for down there? You know?
Well, the car sold 40 gallons. In order to go 500 miles, they've got to get 1.8. So minimum is 2, but there's bound to be more. Rutherford has already made one. He's committed to a 3-stop race right now.
Okay, only 116 gallons in each pit total. There is a total amount of gasoline, as Chris pointed out. Still under the yellow at Ontario. We'll be returning here very shortly. Back again in Ontario, where the yellow flag is still out in the running of the California 200. This is Jim McKay with Jackie Stewart. All of the cars, or many of them, are taking advantage of this yellow flag to come in and top off their fuel supply. Johnny Rutherford, who won the pole position here, has already been in flight. Imagine why he might have done that, Jackie?
I can't imagine, but in fact, he stopped the engine that time. It seems the cars in the pits, as you can see, and they've got the engine starter lined up at the back of that there because one of the mechanics gave a signal to Johnny Rutherford to cut the engine, and it may be that they're going to be doing an adjustment to that engine. It looks like the mechanics are working at it. It's obviously not just a fuel stop, so I'm sure one of Chris Ikatamaki or Sam Poggi's going to go down there and find out what adjustments they were making. Remember, of course, that they've got a two-way radio system between the driver and the team manager, Jim, and for that reason, obviously, Johnny Rutherford was suggesting there is something needs adjustment.
This is a brand-new car and an engine being used for
first time, and it's been 2.5 years in development, so they've had plenty of time to get the bugs out. We said earlier that Janet Guthrie, the woman driver who is expected to have a car good enough to qualify at Indianapolis, is not in today's race. The reason? She blew several engines in her car, they blew behind her. Chris talked to her a little bit earlier.
Janet, it looks like you're having tough luck here in Ontario, California. Tell us why you won't be in the race.
Well, we burned a piston in the engine just this morning, and Relev Olmsted would have moved heaven and earth to find an engine and put the Payne air conditioning car in the field. However, at this point, I have had just exactly 6 laps in a car that is new to me. I would not have been able to get the maximum potential out of this car. It was a joint decision between me and Rella. I think I had the most influence of saying we should wait until another day.
Yeah, this must have been a very difficult decision for you to make. All the publicity about the great car you had and everything, and now here we're at the track. What are your thoughts about this disappointment?
Well, I'm certainly not happy about it, but those are the breaks sometimes, and we will be back here later in a month or two testing with Dick Simon's new car for the Speedway and with my car. And of course, the big game is the Speedway, and I'm looking forward to that and to the other championship races I'll run later in the year.
Janet, I understand that you're not going to be at the next two championship races, the Phoenix and Trenton, which means you'll come to Indianapolis with a limited amount of practice. Do you feel that this might be somewhat of a handicap for you?
Well, no, if it weren't for the test session that we planned here at Ontario, I would have agreed with Rolla and put it up. He would have had to purchase another engine at substantial cost because we had gone through our 3 backup engines, all in, well, 2 of them in Dick Simon's car. At substantial additional expense. Now, if it weren't for the test session that we plan here in a month or two, I would have said, yes, go ahead, get the additional engine. I will start at the back of the field and get the time on the track that is definitely needed. However, we do plan this session, and I am content with that.
And when you get back to your hotel, how are you going to unwind?
You told me to answer that.
All right. A human reaction. This is Johnny Rutherford, still in the pits, just getting started, but he has lost a lap to the field under the yellow. Let's go to Chris quickly. We're going to get the green, Chris, but you got a report?
Yes, Jim. They had to change the spark plugs on the car, all 8 of them. They have an ignition problem, and Johnny is now 1 lap down. Back to you.
Okay, and starter Jim Malone has the green in his hand. Looks like they're going to get it when they come around this time. Gordon Johncock is the leader, remember, in car number 20. Tom Sneva is second. A.J. Boyd at number 14 is third. Number 21, Al Hunter, is fourth. Number 48, Poncho Carter, fifth. Number 11, Roger McCluskey, is sixth. Number 5, Mike Mosley. And all the rest. The green is out. They're racing again in Ontario. A total of 7 laps have now been raced. Remember, the laps under the yellow do count.
A.J. Foyt is moving up there, and Tom Stevens, we can see Gordon Johncock going through that first turn there. Tom Stevens behind him, and A.J. Foyt tucked in behind Tom Stevens. It'll be interesting to see how A.J. moves up, and look how he has moved up, going through turn 2, coming out of turn 2, going into this long back shoot at this Ontario Motor Speedway, and we remember we're live here in Ontario for the first of the USAC races of 77.
And we were talking before about the fact that there are new cars here, that there are different kinds of engines. Gordon Johncock out in front has the old engine, the famous Coffee, the antediluvian monster that's been basically the Indianapolis engine for so many years. Behind him, we have Tom Stever, however, who has the new Ford Cosworth engine, which basically is the same engine that's used in the Formula One cars in Europe. And behind him, yet another kind of engine, A.J. Boyd, as he calls it, is a Ford-based engine.
Well, this is healthy to see 3 racing engines being as competitive and holding the first 3 positions in that way. I think you see John Rock, who seems to have an advantage in performance all the way through here. His main concern, of course, will be whether he's got the boost so high that he's using extra fuel, because they're going to have to do at least 1.8 miles to the gallon, or perhaps they would like to do 2 miles to the gallon if at all possible. George McNaughty, who is the crew chief for the leading car right now, is the man who's going to be masterminding that. But Johnny Rutherford's come back into the pitch, Jim, as we watch Gordon Johncock.
The man who sat on the pole at the beginning of this race, the man who won the Indianapolis 500 last year, is driving it straight to the garage. Now, it could be they'll work on it there and try to come back, but it also could be that he's out of the race. He seemed to be driving with a certain air of finality.
Well, I'm afraid I think we're going to be seeing the end of that car for the day. This is expensive machinery, and it would be unlike them to come out here just for practice, and I'm afraid the race for him is pretty much over.
There are so many imponderables in motor racing. As I said earlier, Jackie, and as you know, obviously, that car has been under development for 2.5 years. The car was ready a year and a half ago, but they worked on the engine to get it just right. But that's the first race and just can't make it.
Ironically, the man who designed that engine is here today, Mike Costin, an Englishman who's come over. But that car that, in fact, is being driven by Johnny Rutherford, we saw retiring, that engine was developed by McLaren, and in fact it doesn't carry the Cosworth name, it carries the Ford McLaren name on it.
All right, we're watching Tom Stevo, who's in second place right now, being pursued by A.J. Foyt. There you see John Cox, the leader, now Stevo, and now A.J. Foyt going through turn one. 11 laps have gone by. Remember, there will be 80 laps in the race. Remember, the fuel situation is a double-edged deal. First of all, you're only allowed so much fuel in the car, 40 gallons. So you must be constantly aware of how much is probably left in that tank. Then, you only have 116 total gallons in your pit for the entire race, and that's the super critical thing when it gets to the end.
Where it's possible, the driver will be driving with economy, just as a lot of us nowadays are driving with economy even on the highway. And what's this, a slower car? This is a car of Rick Mears, going slowly, coming in. He must have a problem. This young man, who had great hopes for his motor racing, is a rookie, just coming in. He was an off-road racer, Jim. This is a man who used to do Baja and really do it very well.
Well, then last year he won the Pikes Peak Hill Climb, driving one of his off-road dune buggy racers. Now, who's this? Pancho Carter into the pits in Dan Gurney's car number 48. Now, this is a brand-new car. It's offset to the left. In other words, there's more car, apparently, on the left side than on the right. Sam Posey is down there. I believe, Sam, what's going on?
Pancho Carter's right rear tire was flat, and they had trouble changing that tire. He's off very quickly now, but Carter, like some of the other cars, is having a fuel problem, and after his first, or rather his second pit stop now, we'll get a reading on whether he's going to be able to make the distance.
Okay, well, as we said, that's a brand new race car. We're expecting to see a good many problems in this race today, from one sort or another. That's a very different race car, too. But Gordy John Cox is still having no trouble. He's out in front in car number 20, followed by Steva and Foyt, Allister and Roger McCluskey. We're live at the Ontario Motor Speedway in California, and at the moment, Gordon John Cox is still the leader of the race, as he has been since the first turn of the first lap. He is the current U.S. Auto Club national champion, won that season-long title in the last race of last year, and he is starting off exactly the same way. Yet another car has retired from the race course. It happened just a matter of seconds ago, and it was Roger McCluskey here in car number 11. Now, this is another of the most talked-about cars of the season. More people seem to be trying to buy models, duplicates of this Roger McCluskey car, than any other car around. And here it is, retiring very quickly for reasons we do not yet know.
Well, he certainly pulled off the racetrack. It must have been something fairly serious for him to do that and not try to get back to the pits. But nothing seems to be very serious in the way of Gordon Johncock's car as he comes through. And then there's another car. There's Bill Simpson's car going very slowly.
Cliff Hoople, I believe.
Yeah.
In car number 29. Yep. Hold it, that's 39, so we get a better look at it.
Yeah.
That would, in fact, be Steve Chrysalop. That was a car originally supposed to be driven by Alan Jones, an Australian. Steve took it over just this morning when Jones withdrew, but it's out of the race now, it appears. Gordon Johncock cruising along, having no problems, but a long way to go. 17 laps have gone by. There are 63 left to go. And we have the yellow.
We have a caution because of that car that we just noticed going slowly in the racetrack. The pace has slowed down as they're going to pull them clear of the racetrack. No problem, no accident. It's just going to take a little time to get it cleared away there. And that's the car that's causing the trouble that you see in your picture now. The driver unhurt, obviously, Steve Chrysalop. Obviously a mechanical problem in the car. Young Alan Jones, the Australian driver, got very little practice because of high winds here during this week. And Steve Chrysalop stepped in instead of him.
They're still operating under the yellow as we come to you live from the Ontario Motor Speedway. Gordon Johncock, the leader in the first race of the USAC year. A.J. Foyt in second place. Then Tom Bigelow, Bobby Unser in car number 6, and Wally Dallenbach. As you see, the standings have been shuffled considerably. They're racing without the pop-off valve this year. That was something last year, a restrictive thing on every car. What is the driver's reactions? We asked them.
Well, I wish they'd left it like it was last year with the 75 inches. Leave the valve on for the race grid. I think we had better races. I think the think before the year's over, they're going to see if they made a mistake.
I think it's a good idea. We still have the fuel rule, which we must attain 1.8 in order to make the gas mileage go the distance. So, in a sense, you know, that's it. Now, if we have some yellows, it could be interesting. I think it'll spice up the race a little bit.
The valve has been taken off for the race, but we've still got the fuel in the tank. We only have so much fuel to run the distance. And the engines now are producing more horsepower. In order to do that, they've got to have more fuel. So it's kind of a, you know, the trade-off thing. The valves would have held us down, but now the fuel limitation will hold the speeds down, and they will be realistic, I think. In the race, you know, it's not going to make all that much difference unless it comes down to the end of the race and you're able to run more boost and run quicker then. That's the only difference. But you're not going to be able to use that 80 inches during the race unless we have an awful lot of yellows, because if they do, they're going to run out of fuel.
Well, it is going to be different than we had last year. I think it won't be as good for the spectators during the race. I was against taking the valve off for the race, so it'll be interesting. I hope that we can have as close a competition as we did last year with the valve on, because that tended to close the cars up. But I think with the fuel regulations, that's a good restriction that we do have, that will tend to close up the pack, and I just hope that we have good race day.
We can run 80 inches in the race, so we still have to get to 1.7 miles per gallon. So that guys will be turning the boost up and down throughout the race. So that's going to make it very interesting.
How do you like that idea?
I don't particularly like it myself.
What they were talking about now was the fact that last year there was a pop-off valve on every racing engine that restricted the maximum number of cubic inches of boost you could get out of the turbocharger. That made for very close racing. We had some of the closest open-wheel automobile racing we've ever seen last season. However, many people, as you saw, think that the mere fuel limitation that we were talking about before will keep the racing just as close. There's a difference of opinion. Now, when we come back here, just in a minute, we're going to be seeing some figure skating. Yesterday, you saw Linda Frattiani of the United States win the world championship. However, there was also a very interesting development in the men's competition that you did not see yesterday. And in a minute or so, you're going to be seeing that, and then we'll be returning here. At the moment, remember, we're still under the yellow flag. It appears we will be for a few more minutes. 60 laps to go. State of Gordon Johncock. After the green flag came out, he made a good spurt from the rear, passed his team, and made it all the rest. Dallenbeck is now the leader. A.J. Boyd is in third place and very close. Incidentally, that Japanese skater was the first of his nation ever to win a medal in world championship competition. So congratulations to him. It was a great performance, wasn't it? But we're going to have quite a race now. We're under the green, as we say. There are 50 laps left in the race.
And I think Wally Dollenbach's going to come into the pits under the green here. Wally Dollenbach leading the race is, in fact, coming into the pits. I saw a pit signal going out for him. His crew are waiting for him. This is the famous George McNaughty crew. George McNaughty was my chief mechanic when I went to Indy in 1966 and 67. The mastermind of this team, which, of course, is extremely successful. Teammate to Gordon Johncock, who's now out leading the race and, of course, is the national champion. There you see the clock on this pit change. They're changing the wheels as well as filling it up with fuel, changing the outside wheels only. These are the tires that are getting all the temperature, going around this left-hand corner all the time, the outside tires. And it's a quick stop, 15.4 seconds, but he's not accelerating away too quickly. He lost a lot of time there. He didn't quite get the engine on the cam, and now he's accelerating out this very long pit lane, Jim.
Okay, any pit stop under the green is going to cost you dearly in a race like this. However, should the green stay out, of course, eventually everybody's going to have to make a stop under the green. There have been a couple of yellows already in this race, and you've not been with us.
And AJ's taken the lead. While we were watching that pit stop, AJ Boyd has taken the lead from Gordon Johncock. And there you see the man who today is starting and in the middle of his 250th championship USAC race. A legend in his own time. AJ Boyd has now taken the lead.
As he has taken the lead many times before. Sam Posey has a story in the pit for us. All right, Sam.
I'm with Johnny Rutherford, the pole sitter who broke down after only a couple of laps. Johnny, when we sent a man to get you in the garage, he said you were mighty hot. What happened?
No, I really wasn't. I was just sitting there wondering what in the world went wrong. We had some engine problems. I missed the shift on the start, Sam, and evidently that's what causes our grief. The thing just quit running, dropped cylinder, and we had to quit.
How high did the RPMs go when you missed the shift?
Well, it was up around 11,000.
But what would you ordinarily rev it to?
Well, about 9,500. So it went up pretty good.
Do you think that what happened is, to a certain extent, something to do with the Cosworth engine. I mean, your lack of familiarity. This is your first race with the Cosworth.
Well, that and the car, you know, under fire. I missed the shift. Obviously, there was, you know, something I'm going to have to work on getting that smoothed out. I've done it before with the Alfie and with the other car, the M16, so it's just one of those things, I guess.
Okay, well, better at Ontario than Indy, and back up to you, Jim.
Okay, that live interview with Johnny Rutherford out of the race, the current Indianapolis 500 champion. And there is A.J. Foyt, who wants more than anything else on earth to win the Indianapolis 500 for the fourth time because nobody has ever done it. This, many people say, Jackie, is going to be the year when the eight-cylinder car is going to take over from the ancient Offenhauser once and for all. Do you think it's going to happen, the Cosworth, along, of course, with A.J. then?
Well, the American cars and the engine people are trying very hard to get this old Offenhauser to continue to run. And there you see A.J. Foyt in the top corner of our picture there, the man who's leading the race in car number 14, the Coyote Foyt, with his own engine in it. And it's an eight-cylinder engine, but that old engine, the Drake Offenhauser engine, that is running in many of those cars today, was basically designed in 1930, and yet it's still competitive today. A.J. Foyt, our leader in this time, has an engine, the V8 Ford engine, basically, that A.J. has done so much work in, and he's done very well. But the Ford Cosworth engine is very competitive, and I think before this year's out, we're going to see that being the dominant engine in this kind of motor racing.
They're going to have to go out and catch the Paul Bunyan of American motor racing, A.J. Foyt. It's all live, coming to you from Ontario, and we'll continue. A.J. Foyt continues to lead the first race of the Indianapolis car season, the California 200, coming to you live from Ontario Speedway in California. Among those who are already out of this race are Rick Mears in car number 90, Spike Gelhausen number 19, Johnny Rutherford, remember, in car number 2 is out of it, the Indianapolis champion. Roger McCluskey in car number 11, one of the very competitive cars this year. They expected him to be, and he probably will be. Salt Walter is out in car number 77. Steve Krisiloff in number 39. And Billy Vukovic in number 15 is also retired. All of those cars out of the race with less than half of the race gone by. 37 laps gone, 43 left to go. There's the man of the hour up to now, A.J. Foyt. They had a stock car race out here earlier today, and A.J. led that until there were about 3 laps to go, and he suddenly had a tire problem.
Well, he's certainly a versatile driver. He's a man who drives hard all the time. He's driving round cars there, as we were seeing round this big Ontario Motor Speedway. It's a wide track. It was built almost identically to Indianapolis specifications, but it's wider in character, and of course it gives the cars a little bit more room for passing and using a little bit more road.
Okay, we're going to take an interval timing between the lead car, A.J. Foyt, and the second car, Gordon Johncock. There you see it on your screen, and it's 2.2 seconds. So on the race course, it looks like quite a bit, but what you said, 250 yards, Jackie. But 2.2 seconds is about like 1,001, 1,002.
Yes, it's very close, and of course, the thing here, one little breath, if a driver gets it slightly offline, he's got to back off just for a fraction of a second, and it's not a matter of just getting his foot back on again. There is a delay in getting it back on, and then, of course, get up to that speed that he has lost. So you can lose that sort of time in just one corner.
When you run down the so-called superstars of American sport, you would have to include this man, A.J. Foyt, who literally is a legend in his own racing time. Jackie talked to him earlier. Here's some of what he had to say.
At the risk of embarrassing the man who's sitting beside me, I would give you some statistics. This will be his 250th championship USAC race. He's won 56 of them. He's been second 23 times, has been third 23 times. And in fact, in the first three, he's finished 102 times out of these 249 in the top three. He's won more money, he's won more pole positions, he's won more points, he's won more races than any driver in the history of USAC racing. A.J., why do you think you've had this kind of success?
Well, I think it's been because of my team and my crew, and we've always worked very closely together, and we've always been very closely knit in regards to who I've ever driven for. I've never been the type of driver that felt like I was better than my crew members, which, you know, a lot of the drivers feel that way, but I always felt like I just won the boys.
What is the greatest moment of your career?
I would say I probably had two great moments in my career that really stood out, or maybe three. I'd have to say the first time I ever qualified for the Indianapolis 500-mile race was probably my lifetime dream. And then the
third time I won the race in 1967, and then 2 weeks later, going over to the Le Mans 24-hour race and being a co-driver there and winning the Le Mans 24-hour race. So I would have to say that would be the three highlights of my life.
AJ, for a man who is so involved, who's obviously working a lot under pressure on a racetrack, but is also building his own car, supervising them, running a dealership in Houston, what do you do to relax?
Well, actually, Jackie, at my ranch out there, you know, we're a thoroughbred racetrack, and to do our own training, a lot of our own training. I have some very fine trainers that actually train the horses, but I've been getting involved in horses quite a bit, and I really love the horses, and I don't know much about them, but it's a very enjoyable sport, and I'm looking forward to maybe having some great horses someday.
What about this famous bulldozer act that you took me on at one occasion? You seem to use up all the little temper pieces that A.J. Foyt occasionally shows with a bulldozer.
This is quite true. I enjoy driving a bulldozer at the ranch out there. I've cleared 90% of my own land myself, and I've had some boys to help me, but that's where I go out and relax, is when I want to clear land and ride the bulldozer and do outside work, because I really enjoy the outside.
Okay, an interesting behind-the-scenes look with the man in that car, A.J. Foyt, Anthony Joseph Foyt of Houston, Texas, the legend of American racing. We have Bobby Unser into the pits right now, and Tom Seva has moved past Gordon Johncock in the second place in the race. There is Bobby Unser in his car. It's a new car. He hasn't had very many laps in it, and I don't think he'd be too surprised if he had had some problems today.
Well, it's possible to have mistakes at this time of the year, but we'll be coming straight back to Ontario.
While we're away, A.J. Foyt and Gordon Johncock both pitted under the green flag. At the moment, Tom Seva, who took over the lead, has come into the pit. He's in there now, and that means that Al Unser at this moment is the leader of the race. There's Seva in a Roger Penske car with that brand-new Ford Cosworth engine, getting his push and having a little trouble getting started.
Losing a lot of time there on that, getting that restart going. This is very important because the pit lane here is a very long pit lane, and you lose a lot of time, not only in the actual changing of the tires and filling of the fuel, but on the deceleration and the acceleration getting out of this pit lane. Very important to get a good clean start, and that I've noticed some of the drivers have not been getting that during their pit stop.
Al Unser came in and out of the pits at the same time that Steven did, so that means that all of those leaders have been in and out. We have Wally Dallenbeck, who has not been in as the unofficial leader at the moment. I think AJ has gotten back in front.
And somebody is going slowly there. Somebody on the back straight away. It looks like Wally Dallenbeck.
Wally Dallenbeck in car number 40, who led the race at 1 point. And momentarily there was the leader on those pit stop changes, but now having some problems.
I thought I saw flame coming out of his exhaust pipe as he was going down the back stretch there. And we can see it again in slow motion. We see the car going down the back stretch there. And they look at the flame. It's a blowback in that car. It's flame coming out of the exhaust pipe there. As that car, he's obviously got a very serious internal problem in the engine. Could be a hosed piston. It could be almost anything. But I think you'll be seeing the end of Wally Dallenbeck today.
Remember, this is one of two cars representing the Patrick Racing team. The other one being car number 20, Gordon Johncock. Johncock led the race in the early going. And now A.J. Foyt has retaken the lead. Everybody has had their pit stops for this occasion. There should be another one. And Dallenbeck, by the way, is taking his car behind the pit wall. As you said, Jackie, it's probably the end of the afternoon for him.
I think so. As we look at the leader, A.J. Foyt, remember, this is his 250th championship race, and what a wonderful way to celebrate so many events, but to win it. That really would be a high point. I know Jim Gilmer, his sponsor, is here, and I know that they're all keen in the Foyt team to see A.J. accomplish this sort of victory.
A.J. Foyt into his 40s now, but still after that elusive fourth Indianapolis 500 championship. Of course, ABC will again be bringing you the Indy 500 on same-day coverage, except in the Indiana area, at the end of May. Second place at the moment. Let's take a look at that.
That was the comparison between the first and second position there. A.J. Foyt has a considerable lead on this racetrack right now. He's got a long lead, and he must be very happy to be in that position. But, of course, anything can happen, as we all know, particularly if a yellow light comes on. Of course, the field will close right up. And there's your order as we see it right now. AJ Foyt, the car number 14, leading the race.
Okay, and there you see the standings. John Cox second again now, ahead of Steva, then Al Unser, and Mike Mosley. It's the Ontario Motor Speedway and the California 200. 50 laps of racing have gone by, and there are still 30 left in the California 200, coming to you live from the Ontario Motor Speedway. This is Jim McKay with Jackie Stewart in the commentary booth. There are the standings, A.J. Foyt, followed by Gordon John Cox, and Tom Steva, Al Unser, and Mike Mosley. And of the first four cars, three of them are eight-cylinder engines. Only one is the old Aussie. For 73, the veteran race driver, making yet another effort to build up to Indianapolis this year. Sam Posey is down in that area. You know what the fire was, Sam?
Yes, Jim, you're right. I'm in the Lloyd Ruby pit right now. The fire has just been extinguished for the third time. It flared up to three separate times. It was an oil-covered gasket leak, which put a lot of burning oil out onto the rear of the car. That was the cause of the fire. It's the only engine of its kind in the race, the American Motors car. I can have a word here with Lloyd Ruby, if you'd like. Lloyd, I think it's just another look at the car. It's not really badly hurt. Back to you, Jim.
Well, we could have a word with Lloyd, or perhaps we couldn't, but it turns out we couldn't. We do have, however, at the moment, Wally Dallenbeck with Chris Economacki. What's up, Chris?
Well, Wally, you're out of it, obviously, but
could the engine stand the pain?
I guess not, Chris. We're just running too good, it seemed, for it to last. Everything felt so good, and it was handling fine, and all the gauges went fine. All of a sudden, the total started to smoke, you know, and oil, the telltale, and stuff was going bad. And apparently, that's what it was.
Wally, the boost is off. You think this is what the problem was? Too much boost? And is this the kind of a season we're going to have? A blown engine?
Well, I hope not. Maybe I'll get out of my system early, but I don't think it was because of the boost. It just might have been today's warmest day we had. We might have been just a little bit too lean for this much heat and sun, you know. The other 3 days we were here, it was colder and windy, and things are looking rich there as far as fuel and air. But we just might have been a little bit lean for today. You know, we got to cut it close to the fuel mileage, and we had that accomplished.
Right on. Wally blames it on the weather. Back to you, Jim.
Okay, the weather, for most people's purposes, being absolutely perfect. The temperature about 75 degrees here, very little wind, literally not a cloud in the sky. A lovely California springtime day. There's the way they stand right now. A.J. Foyt with a very substantial lead over Tom Steva. Incidentally, Lloyd Ruby, whom you were saying a minute ago, is 49 years old, a race driver still continuing his career. And we might talk about that when we come back here shortly, Jackie. Again, live in Ontario, and there have been developments. A.J. Foyt made a routine pit stop under the green, but that made Tom Steva the leader. Immediately, Steva, I think, may have run out of fuel because he comes very slowly into the pit. There he is. He's been whipping around all the way from before turn three into the pit, and that has put Al Unser into the lead in car number 21. However, it appears that Unser will have to make a pit stop. A.J. has made what should be his last one.
Tom Steva is in the pit. Now with Roger Penske, but it's a leisurely pit stop. He's got a problem. It's not just fuel he's run out of.
Al Unser is in the pit. And so it will be A.J. Foyt taking the lead in the race again. And he has done it. And he flashed past the start-finish line. Al Unser was in the lead, but we said we knew he had to make another pit stop. A.J. did his in 15 seconds or thereabouts. And that was pretty close to the same.
And I'm afraid the day is over for Tom Steva. Al Unser moves out of the pit, and A.J. Foyt is in the lead. The car of Tom Steva is pushed into the garage area. So that's the end of a day for Tom Steva, the Russian technical car. A great technical car. He could easily have won this race.
There are two stories here. One is A.J., the other is the attrition of the other car. Let's get a report on Tom Steva being out from Sam Posey.
I'm with Roger Penske. Roger, what happened?
Well, I guess Tom started to pick up on A.J., and we were down to 2 seconds, and I saw him go down the straight, and a puff of smoke came out. I guess we burned a piston because it got oil and water all over the back of the car, and
This is the first time with a car, and we're happy it ran as well as it did, and we just got to get it to finish now.
It is making a real race of it. This is the same car you'll take to the speedway, is that right?
Right, we'll have Tom Sneva and the Norton Spirit and Mario Andretti driving the Camp 2 car at the speedway.
Thanks very much. With Roger Penske in the pit.
Okay, that was Sam Posey down there, and the attrition rate, as I said, is just tremendous. Here are the cars out of the race. There are 12 of them, the original 26 starters. Johnny Rutherford is out. Mike Posey. Bobby Unser is out. We have Tom Sneva out now. Roger McCluskey is out. Billy Vukovic. Mike Gelhausen. Steve Krzyzewski. Wally Dallenbach of the Patrick team. Veteran Lloyd Ruby. Dolph Walter. Rick Mears and Al LaPuesta. We're told that car number 86 is now out. That means that half of the field has retired in the first race of the year. Normally, you expect to see a high attrition rate because of new machinery and new car design that's not this high, particularly since racing conditions would seem to be very good. A little bit hot for the engines, perhaps, but otherwise perfect. There have been no changes while we're away. Still racing live in Ontario and California, and A.J. Foyt is the easy leader in his Coyote Foyt automobile. The engine in the car is called a Foyt. As we said before, it's a development of a basic Ford V8 engine. The news for the fifth now from Chrissy Konomacki. Well, Jim, A.J. Foyt, fuel calculations are right on. Here's the gauge, about 4 gallons left in the master tank. And we stop with 18 laps to go. We're off with 40 gallons, more than enough to get to the second flag. Another point of the five new generation 1977 cars that started, only one is left. Poncho Carter and the new Eagle. Back to you, Jim.
That's a very good sign for that new Eagle, by the way. We had a long conversation with Dan Gurney yesterday. He's very high on the race car with the offset to the left, and the Eagle looking to the point. And normally, what you think, Jackie, it takes time to race and work in an actual new design. And you appear to the race car, and here it is still out there.
The Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which of course we at ABC will be covering in the month of May. The car that is leading, Jim, the A.J. Foyt car, this man is truly remarkable. He does well at the beginning of the season. At A.J. Foyt, in his 249 races that he's had so far, when you think he's 156, that means to say that every fifth race that he enters, he wins. And that's
incredible.
A very good batting average.
Incidentally, earlier today, A.J. almost won another race, a stock car race, on this same track. It's his second race of this Sunday afternoon. This was a stock car race, and at one point, he was dueling with Bobby Unser. Let's take a look now at the race earlier today. This was a USAC stock car race. And we had A.J. Foyt in car number 51, behind him, Bobby Unser, and then Jimmy Insolo, a local driver. Watch what happened to Bobby Unser, the second car in your picture, as he came out of turn four. There he was, spinning. Insolo doing a good job of getting by him. Now, some people wondered whether Insolo might have nicked him or not. A couple of other cars, as you see, spun into the pit area, and it caused Bobby Unser valuable time on the racetrack. Jackie is a little look at it.
In slow motion here, you see the car going sideways. The Camaro that Bobby Unser was driving went sideways down the racetrack. He kept it on the racetrack. The cars behind him, however, closing at a very high speed of plus of 160 miles an hour, had to avoid. One car rode another car, could easily have turned upside down, as you see it right now. Look at that car beginning to ride up in the air there. It could easily have rolled over. That's the kind of accident that happens at the super speedways because of the incredible speed. And look at the finish of the race. Bobby Unser just got pinned in the number one car, literally, by just a few yards.
And it was the day of a lifetime for Jimmy Insolo, a driver from the Los Angeles area, really a local boy who made good this morning in that earlier stock car race by passing in the closing lap coach A.J. Foyt, who had tire problems after that, actually retired from the race, and nipping Bobby Unser, as you saw, literally at the finish line by less than one car length. A.J. Foyt still leading live in this race with the Indianapolis cars. More news in the pit from Britt.
Well, there's a mechanic on Gordon Johncock's pit crew has a new nickname, Butterfinger. When he made a routine pit stop while leading for change of tires and fuel, it should take 15 seconds. He was in the pit for 2.5 minutes. This foe cross-threaded on the front and jammed, and they fought, struggled, and tugged, and finally, before they got it off and a new one threaded on, it was 2.5 minutes, and he lost the race. Back to you, Jim.
All right, Chris. A.J. Foyt still the leader. In second place is Al Unser in car number 21. In third place is Marco Carter, a lap or two down, in the Dan Gurney car. That's the new design we're talking about. Then we have Tom Bigelow in car number 24. Number 38, Bill Simpson. That's one of Teddy Gibbs' cars. Very interesting man from Hong Kong who still drives race cars himself. He won't tell anybody how old he is. Car number 20 is still being placed up to... Now, that's wrong because John Carter... So he's a hit, and that's one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th place for Gordon Johncock, then Dick Simon. The scoreboard is showing 6 laps left in the race, and it's either 6 or 7. We have a discrepancy on that in the booth, so we'll be double-checking either 6 or 7 laps left in the booth. With less than 5 laps left in the race, A.J. Foyt continues to breeze along his Coyote Foyt car performing absolutely perfectly, and he on his way to yet another victory in his 250th USAC Championship car race.
Quite a record for any man, a lovely anniversary, and this would make it 57 wins out of those 215 starts, which I think he must be very proud of. The entire team, of course, the Texans, the very proud Texans, a man who's been able to drive on dirt and stock cars and road races, on almost anything that you could give him. He loves racing, he just wants to keep on racing. He's not a young boy, and you know, we were speaking earlier when we saw Lloyd Ruby having his problems earlier in the race there when his car had a little fire in the engine compartment. He was 49 years old, Lloyd Ruby, and we wonder how many years racing drivers can go on. But it seems true, Jim, that here in Indianapolis type motor racing, the driver who has a few years under his belt, a lot of experience, a man like A.J. Foyt, who we're looking at right now, and a man like Lloyd Ruby, there's a maturity, a wisdom, a capacity to be able to feel a motor car, analyze it, drive within the capacity of that car and the limits of the driver himself. And this is something, of course, maturity only brings, because the exuberance of youth can often get you into trouble. And that's why A.J. Foyt has come through the 250 races, because he has got into a lot of trouble.
Another car out of the race, number 80, Larry Dixon. Incredible. Less than half the cars that started are still running on this race course. You think so, Jackie, that the fact that there is no minor league of these very sophisticated race cars in American racing is the reason that the older drivers keep hanging on, the new ones don't come up? In other words, we have sprint cars and midgets, but they're very different kinds of machines, whereas in Europe, under Formula One, you have Formula Two, Formula Three.
We have many different forms of apprenticeship, kindergarten, schools, and everything else that brings young drivers along. Of course, the machinery costs such a lot of money in these USAC events, and a lot of the sponsors, car owners, are very reluctant to give young drivers an opportunity because of the speed to fall. And nobody gets the opportunity to build up to the sort of 190, 195 mile an hour average speed that you get in the super speedway. So, of course, it is easy to bring young drivers. I think America is losing bias. I think we have to do something, or there will be a great drought of top-line American drivers in the future, and I would love to see that be changed.
Very soon, A.J. Foyt is going to get the white flag. Starter Jim Malone holding it and giving it to him now. 1 lap to go, and A.J. has got his first victory of the year in the very first race. Well, it's a long way until the end of May, and there will be other races. There'll be Phoenix and Benton still lying ahead of us, and then that long, sometimes seemingly endless month of May. But still, got to put A.J. down at the top of the blackboard right now.
Well, as he goes right here on this last lap, still not over, and he's still looking at everything in that motor car, but we are going to be looking forward to seeing those races in and of course in Indianapolis, as A.J. Foyt knows, takes it very, very carefully. He doesn't want to make any mistakes at this time. The question of nothing, the car, he's within sight now. He could almost coast across the finishing line.
It will be Al Unser finishing second, and Mario Carter finishing third. The checkered flag out. Jim Malone giving it to A.J. Foyt, who has won his 57th championship car race. Al Unser is second, Marco Carter in car number 48 is third, Tom Bigelow in number 24 is fourth, Gordon Johncock in number 25th, Bill Simpson in number 38 is sixth, and then Dick Simon, number 17, number 25, Danny Gaius, and number 85, Bernie Susan of Australia.
Well, very soon the crowd will be leaving here then after a long day of racing. There's the second place car of Al Unser. Now remember, AJ has that Ford Voigt engine in his car. This car has the new Ford Conquest.
It looks to me as if, in fact, Al Unser has gone out of pencil. He was weaving a little bit to try and pick up fuel at the bottom of the car there. I'm not sure that he hasn't run right out of pencil on that latest Cosworth car of Al Unser.
Well, there is no question about the winner of the race. It is, in fact, Anthony Joseph Voigt, Jr. of Houston, Texas. In the pits is Daddy, and the rest of the crew will be getting ready for a little bit of a celebration and then a lot more work leading to the Indianapolis 500. It's been a long day of racing, as we said, and very soon the crowd will be leaving and the racetrack will return to the sheep, still grazing peacefully in the infield. Jackie, good to see you as always. You'll be back, of course, for Phoenix and Trenton, and it's going to be an interesting year.